Today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
Venice, Barcelona, Amsterdam, all great cities to visit, but they have become victims of their own popularity, with throngs of tourists putting pressure on the ecosystems and the local way of life. And over-tourism is a phenomenon in popular cities and also beach resorts all over the world. So today we're going to do a tour of the alternatives to those places. And I'm joined in the studio by travel journalist Fionn Davenport. Fionn, we all know this. You know, we've all gone to those places and you have romantic notions about, say, Venice. Take Venice as an example. And it's just not fun to be there.
It really isn't. And also, as well as someone, I'm very conscious of the fact that I'm advising people not to go to one of the world's most beautiful cities, mm-hmm. this unique place. And I use the word unique because it very much is unique. And say, look, and it comes across as a bit spoilery, but the truth is, as you pointed out, you've got a city of roughly 500,000 people that gets 50,000 people that gets 20 million visitors a year. And so, as beautiful as Venice is, and I was lucky enough and reported on the programme to visit kind of in the break during lockdown, and I saw Venice devoid of what I can only liken to people emptying a football stadium. That's what it feels like to walk around Venice at ordinary times. And it's, the experience is dead. It kind of ruins the city and it ruins your experience of it. So you're paying high prices for what? Just to stand in big throngy crowds. So, and over-tourism is a real issue and the Venetians are very concerned about it. So I thought it best to look at alternatives.
And what's an alternative then? I mean, we're talking about Venice. Venice.
So just across the border, Slovenia. Ljubljana is one of the most beautiful capitals in Europe and gets relatively few visitors. It's stunningly gorgeous and it's not far from Venice. You can get a train from there. So as I said, Ljubljana, which is more Baroque architecture than anything, but it's got canals running through the middle of it. And there's also Breda, which is another city in Slovenia, which has more of a Venetian feel to it in that it would have been built roughly around the same time.
Okay, so there are two options then. Yeah. you would recommend.
And cheaper, by the way.
Well, see, it's all good. Cheaper, fewer people, you know, less angst getting around. And you know that you're not putting all of that pressure on their ecosystems because
exactly.
there's not as many people there. Now, sun and sand.
Yeah, so Thailand.
Yes.
So the Andaman coast and the Gulf of Thailand. You know, so obviously people go to Phuket and Koh Phi Phi and Koh Phangan and Koh Samui and these gorgeous, gorgeous islands. But again, the victims of their own popularity. So here is a real left field alternative, Mozambique. Now, one of the issues, and it is worth pointing out, is that access is key for people.
Yes.
You know, it's all well and good saying, oh, you should go to this place, but you have to take 19 flights and you have layovers, etc. Thailand is a two-stopper, no matter what way you cut it. So mm-hmm. you always have to either go through either the UK or parts of Europe or the Middle East. So Mozambique is a two-stopper again. And the beaches of Mozambique are as beautiful as the beaches of Thailand were 40, 50 years ago before they became this kind of hugely popular place to go.
Now we're telling everybody.
I know.
But
I mean, listen, we're a country of 5 million people. So I'm not that concerned that they're going to really suffer over tourism yet. But so you have Southern Africa. It's got that beautiful temperate climate. It's got 1,500 miles, that's over 2,000 kilometres of unspoiled coastline.
Oh, it sounds beautiful.
I mean, pristine white sand beaches with beautiful arching palm trees. The resorts are not nearly as developed as you would expect to find in Thailand, but that's fine.
That's fine, yeah, we can go with that.
Absolutely fine. And the place, so you can get two-stop flights. So you can go from the UK, you can go to Maputo or Vilanculos. And really, again, and much, much cheaper. Now, Thailand is still a very affordable destination. But having said that, Mozambique, I just think that places like Thailand, and we're going to talk more about other beach resorts in that part of the world, it's just they're oversaturated. And as beautiful as they are and as worth visiting as they are, it's just gotten to that point where the experience is not what you're paying for.
Because of the crowds?
Because of the crowds. And also they have huge problems with pollution. So, for example, you have a pristine section of sand where you have cheek by jowl, one hotel, two hotels, just hotel, discharging into the waterways, and they don't have a developed infrastructure to deal with that level of tourism.
Yeah.
The Philippines has suffered this problem horrifically in the last few years. again, I'm conscious about, like, I'm not advising people not to go. I'm advising people think about these
Have
things.
Have a think.
Have a think before
well,
you
look,
do.
Mozambique sounds wonderful.
Oh, Claire.
It's like a great place to go.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, it's got that kind of, because it's connected to South Africa, so it's got that kind of connect. It is quite developing, as it were. It's not completely undeveloped, but it is very much. I remember I was, look, maybe 35 years ago was the first time I went to Thailand, and it still had that bit of kind of undiscovered, not undiscovered, but undeveloped beauty that unfortunately is gone now.
Then you had the beach.
Oh, God. Yeah, well.
Your man.
Alex Garland's book, it kind of ruined that part of
DiCaprio, the movie.
The movie of the book.
That was 2006. They mentioned it in the Sunday Times yesterday, actually, that was 2006. And do you remember the rush?
Because I know. And I've been, and it's beautiful, but it's not nearly as nice as the film makes out.
What about Raja Ampat?
Okay, so Bali, again, is one of those destinations that's incredibly popular, not just with European travellers, but also people from Australia. So it's kind of that destination for Australian backpackers, etc. And Bali is stunningly gorgeous. There are 1,000 islands in the Indonesian archipelago. So two others, Raja Ampat, they're heaven on earth. I mean, really, whether you're into underwater sport, like if snorkeling or scuba diving, there's the jungle, you can see tropical birds, wildlife. It's really and very chilled out, which is what people go to Bali for. But Bali is not chilled out like it used to be, because it's like motor scooters with tourists and yoga studios everywhere. And, you know, and it's just.
Come here and enjoy yourself.
Come here. Come to this place. No. We've got the best banana pancakes.
And
the other alternative are the Flores Islands, which, again, is very popular with people looking to get away from Bali. So it's backpackers, divers, hikers. Again, traditional villages, beautiful scenery, great jungle. As I said, Indonesia has 1,000 different islands to explore. So they're two alternatives.
Well, speaking of lots of islands, the Greek islands, you have Paros for us, which you're recommending.
Yeah, and the thing is, because Santorini, again, is a very popular destination, one I love very much, and going to Aia and see the blue domed houses, etc. It's gorgeous. But because Santorini is a volcanic island, all of the tourism is focused on this one corner of it. So it's creaking under the weight of it. So Paros is a great alternative. Again, you can't get there directly. It's right next to Naxos. So you can get there via Athens. So you fly into Athens and then just do a little hop down.
Now, we're nearly at the end of our time, but I just want to mention your alternative to Amsterdam, because Amsterdam is
Utrecht.
A handy hop for us, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. But Utrecht, and again, Utrecht is what? Like less than half an hour by train. Utrecht is everything that Amsterdam is, but without the thousands and thousands of people. A really, really beautiful, beautiful city. Same culture, same scenery, but a touristy counterpart.
So fly to Amsterdam, get the
train. Yeah, just get the train. It's about 40 minutes
and
to Utrecht.
What have you got there? I mean, have you got the cycling and...
Yeah, you've got all of that. You've got the beautiful architecture, the lovely houses built, whatever it is, 1600s, 1700s, the canals. It's like mini Amsterdam, but without all of the mayhem and tourism.
Now, if somebody, just going back to Venice, if somebody decides, I really want to go to Venice, I just want to see it once in my lifetime.
And everyone should.
Yeah. What do you advise then?
Well, the biggest problem that Venice faces is not cruise ships, it's day trippers. That is by far and away the biggest problem that Venice has. And it's people who come in and kind of cannibalize the sights but don't spend any money. And so stay longer. If you are going, go off season. Go in February if you can. Go in February and stay longer. Stay a few days. You'll get a quieter city. You're going to contribute to the local economy, which is all important when fighting the problems of over-tourism. And support local tour guides. You know, try and make your visit helpful to the local economy and the local population, because the 50,000 citizens of Venice are crying out to restore the city. So it's not just a kind of a Disneyland for tourists. Mm-hmm. And so those three tips are actually very good. Yeah.
Fionn, good to see you.
Thank you very much.
Some interesting ideas there for the halls. That's Fionn Davenport, travel journalist. And coming up next, do we need a NATO no-fly zone to rescue grain supplies from Ukraine? That's after this.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.